This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. So it's Friday morning. It's a beautiful day outside. No rain this time. Birds are chirping. It looks like a beautiful day to get back on the road.
Yeah.
So do you guys, you guys would probably have to head back to the bus station, I suppose, to
train station.
The train station. Sorry, bus station and station.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what time the train leaves, right? If we have time for breakfast, I guess we probably go out for breakfast. If it's one of those things like, oh, you gotta, you know, we're leaving at 7, so we gotta get up and go and, you know, eat in the, I think we've established this is an old timey train, so there's like a food car and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say that it's an early departure. It's like 7:30 or something like that. Something like that. Okay. So you guys have to get up pretty early, get going, can eat on the cart on the way there, kind of thing. Nothing really happens on the train ride. You can just tell that there's just anticipation between you and her on what's going to be happening once you get to your destination. Things are still up in the air, so you can tell that Jane is kind of just has a bunch of stuff kind of going through her head, almost like a mental like calculator of like, okay, you know, what if this happens and what if I meet him? What do I say? That kind of thing. Like you can tell, like, it's just her brain is kind of running at a extraordinary capacity.
Okay. So I think maybe like as they're eating then or whatever, or, you know, sitting post breakfast, just, you know, sipping coffee or whatever, he says, I don't know. It might take us a little while to, you know, to find your dad when we get there. We got a couple of leads, but you know, don't be disappointed if this, you know, takes a little bit of time still. Like, we'll be in Maine tonight, but, you know, it's, we got to do a lot of legwork.
And she, like, kind of, like, almost like she's listening to you, but also is kind of, like, looking away, thinking of stuff, and she just kind of nodded her head, like, And she's like, well, you know, I've been waiting most of my life for this, so, you know, I suppose another couple of days won't really break the bank.
I think, you know, he reaches, you know, cigarette in one hand, you know, reaches across the table, you know, just kind of puts his hand on top of her hand. And he says, it's going to be okay. You're okay. I mean, I think it's all going to work out.
And she gives you a big smile. She said, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
And, you know, just gives her hand a squeeze and, mm-hmm. you know, sips his coffee.
Yeah, for sure.
Not chain smoking, but...
So yeah, you head into Maine. You're not quite to your destination yet, you know, there's a lot of hustle and bustle. People looking at certain things, looking at the ocean, looking at the buildings and stuff like that. And the radio is just kind of more of like background and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you catch a couple of certain announcements. Now, this is stuff I was actually supposed to say before on accident. And this is actually reserved for Maine, so I am going to do the or talk about these.
Breaking news. Margaret Chase Smith has won the race for Senator of Maine against her challenger, Democrat Adrian H. Skolton, to become the first woman to represent Maine as senator. Running a grassroots campaign with little money invested in the campaign, her slogan was, "Don't change a record for a promise." When one of the wives of her opponents questioned whether a woman would be good for senator, Smith replied, "Women administer the home. They set the rules, enforce them, mete out justice for violations. Thus, like Congress, they legislate. Like the executive, they administer. Like the courts, they interpret the rules. It is an ideal experience for politics. Congratulations, Madam Senator." In other first, the very first successful demonstration of the chainsaw a gas-powered saw that cuts down the toughest trees in America. This demonstration was performed at the Sebago Logging Conference in Sebago Lake. Many a logger is excited about this efficient and fine product.
Okay. And, you know, so this is actually stuff that is for real. I actually ripped this out of headlines and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice to be able to go through and find stuff like this, which I think is pretty, pretty amazing. I had no idea about the chainsaw. That's just something like I would not associate the chainsaw being a first in Maine of all places for some reason. I feel like I would see it like in California or something like that. It's very interesting.
Right. Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess you got a lot of old logging in Maine, right? I mean, I guess that makes sense. All sawmills and stuff like that, right? Because populated on the East Coast first, up and down, all that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I didn't write a little thing for this, so I'm actually going to have to just do this on my own. So you guys are, you know, riding a little bit further, trying to get to your destination. Did I told you exactly the place, the city you needed to go to, right?
It's Portland, yeah. So there were when Jane's mom showed the postcard in the stamp from the
post office.
We were able to determine that that was Portland. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. All right, perfect. Okay. Yeah, so like you're still traveling, you're just on the outskirts of Portland, and then all of a sudden the radio pops on again. In other headlines... Big news in Maine. Fishing crews left and right have had big troubles trying to find lobster for sale. God, I should have.
You can always cut this now, later. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not live, right? Hey, fuck all this.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Kurt, write something better about a lobster shortage. Anyway, there's a lobster shortage. And that is actually something that is news back then as well. So, it's kind of interesting that it was one of those things that I wanted to kind of play around with the state of Maine and then found some different things to kind of throw together. So it was kind of fun to use this as a storyline. But yeah,
it's nice to ground things in reality, right? That's the kind of the cool thing that we can do with that. Like doing, you know, a full research paper like headlines 1947 and in Maine or whatever.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, it's kind of fun to discover those things because there's a lot of history there. Yeah, and like you know the news reel or the news the report news report or whatever kind of catches Jane's ear and she's like lobster shortage. She says, like that's news. She says it's interesting that comes up as we're listening. She says, must be a sign.
Yeah, yeah, and could be. You know, the fisheries are a big thing up here, I guess. You know, hopefully, you know, he hasn't moved on. I'm going to bet my money that he's still here.
I hope so. I feel good about this. I feel like we're on the right path.
Hey, look, if we find out that he left, I'll just, you know, I'll call Janice and tell her, you know, we'll be a little bit longer.
And she just kind of. She doesn't respond just because she doesn't want to admit that could be a possibility, even though she knows that's a possibility.
Right.
And she just kind of shakes her head like, yeah, of course, you know, that definitely be the things. So, yeah. So you guys head in and you hit Portland. It's a busy, busy time. You can tell people are going to and from their jobs because it's still pretty early in the morning. There are some people that are, you know, making their commutes. There's some people that are, you know, at their jobs and stuff like that. So like, you know, there's a lot of different buildings that, you know, you can see the smoke coming out of the chimneys and stuff like that, that the day has just kind of started or whatever. And you guys, the train stops and, lets you guys out.
He grabs the bags. He helps her off the train. I don't know if they would. Like, if you land in an airport now, right, they have taxi stands and all that stuff. So I assume they would have a taxi stand or something to that effect, right? You know, 1957, sure. I think that would be pretty, pretty common.
Especially at a train station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm assuming that he's already made reservations for, you know, a hotel in Portland. So yeah, he'll just, you know, go up taxi stand, be like, yeah, we need a ride over to the, you know, the Hilton. I don't know. We need a ride over to the Hilton, the one over on, 34th Street.
Sorry. Write that down. So I know. And yeah. And the gentleman driving's got a big old cigar, whatever. He says, "You got it, mister." And he, pedal to the metal and you guys head off.
Yep. You know, I think he's just, you know, I'm assuming she's kind of like pensive in the car, kind of like hands in her lap. And, you know, he just puts his hands on, you know, his hand on her hands and, you know, mm-hmm. just, it's probably a fairly quiet ride, right? Like this is it, right? Like this is the penultimate moment in some aspects, right? Like not, but sure, you know.
for sure. She's definitely not saying anything to you. Like she accepts your hand and she looks out the window and kind of takes it all in, you know. You can almost hear it, you know, hear her thoughts out loud, like, you know, oh, so this is where he's at, if he's here, you know, that kind of thing. This is the time I'm going to meet my father. You know, and like she almost like absentmindedly like flattens out like her dress and stuff like that, and like kind of like does her hair like absentmindedly too to make sure everything's kind of in place and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
I think after like, you know, the first few minutes, I think George is just like, what's the weather supposed to be like up here the next couple days?
And the cabbie's like, "Oh, looks like it's gonna be clear skies, good weather. Good, you know, it's gonna be nice. You sounds like you're from out of town. You here to visit?"
Yeah, a little vacation, and he, you know, squeezes her hand.
That sounds great. Make sure you take a little boat ride or something like that. You know, the boat rides here, they're just the top notch. You know, you gotta take one of those. You know, if you need to see any of the sights and stuff like that, there's lots of fine meals around here that everybody likes to kind of visit while they're here. Make sure you get nice, good breaths of that ocean air. You know, some people don't really get that for where they're from. So make sure you just kind of suck that in. You know, the weather up here is a little different.
Yeah, no, it's real pretty. I hadn't been up here before the first time. You got the ocean on this side of you. You got the mountains over here.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's quite a sight to see. Make sure you take it all in.
Yeah, no, we'll definitely do that. Which way would the like the fishing pier and all that be?
Oh, which one? There's lots of them.
Oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe somebody with a boat.
Oh, maybe, somebody maybe with a boat, huh?
Lobster fishing.
All right. Well, let's see. He is kind of thinking about where you guys are going to or whatever. And he says, "Well, from where you're staying, you want to go about probably about 7 minutes east over to Wharfman's Bay, and you might want to check that one out there. Got a couple of nice boats there. If you want to do some fishing, you also got some charters. Be able to pay your money and get some fishing in there. I would ask for David Goliath. You're gonna ask for David Goliath. He's quite the guy. He's a good guy. He'll you need a boat.
He's his own worst enemy.
Your man. exactly.
Yep. He's making mental notes. He's not writing anything down. This is pretty much old hat. Like he's working this guy a little bit just to kind of lay the groundwork a little bit, you know, maybe take her mind off of things a little bit, you know, just, you know what, he's starting to work a little bit, you know?
Yeah, for sure. He's getting the old creative, investigative juices flowing there. So yeah, he drops you off at the Hilton. It's a nice little place, you know, it's not super fancy, but it's one of the better ones that's around town.
Do we have a balcony?
Sure, why not?
I think he would splurge a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
It's, we're looking for her dad, but it's also kind of like our first big trip, right? Like, you know, you get that cool air coming in, you know, open up the windows, curtains kind of billowing into the room kind of thing, like that whole, you know, sit out on the porch, and not on the porch, on the balcony. Yeah, maybe for some sure. mimosas in the morning. You know, maybe whatever. Like he's, you know, he's trying to be smooth about it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. And you can tell she actually is kind of taking it in. Like she, even though she's nervous, she's really taking in the scenery, just kind of taking in the lack of a better term, like the theatrics of it all, kind of thing or whatever. And she sits out in the on the balcony with you and enjoys the mimosa or whatever. And again, very quiet, very pensive, just kind of thinking about the day and stuff like that. And you almost kind of notice that every once in a while she'll just kind of like rub her hands and just kind of go back and forth kind of thing. Like she's really itching to, you know, find her dad's, but she's trying not to rush things either.
Right. So if we could step out for 1 second, I don't remember because it's been forever. Did Jane's mom say that he had an alias? Did he sign with his own name? Did he sign with a different name?
He actually signed with his name. Okay. But you with your detective knowledge and just knowing as a PI, like you're almost 100% certain that he's using an alias just because, again, yeah, he doesn't want to be found. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that like he wasn't using some other, you know, pseudonym, so surname or whatever.
Not that you know of.
Okay, so I think then he would ask Jane while they're sitting out. He was like, "I know it's a long time ago. Did you ever call your dad anything, you know, like other than dad? Did mom ever call him, you know, anything, any sort of like pet name, any other, you know, name we might want to start with? Any favorite, you know, movie stars, anything that might come to mind that you might remember?" I mean, it's a big ask because she was little, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. For sure. So she's really thinking. She's like kind of like squinting her eyes a little bit, stuff like that. And she's like, the only other name anybody ever called him was Daniel. And I think that was the only reason why they called him that is because his character in, give me 1 second. Hold, please. Oh, here we go. Because his name was Daniel in that movie that he drove for called Sins of the Father. And he didn't have a last name, so everyone just called him Daniel. She's like, that's the only other name that anybody ever called him. But again, I always just called him Dad or Daddy.
Yeah, no. That's good. That's good. I didn't even think about looking at his character name in the movie. So maybe he might be using Danny or Daniel. Dan, maybe a good place to start.
Just for behind the curtain's sake, I wasn't even going to have you get this. I was going to be like, well, I'll just have you try to figure it out. But then I was like, well, I can have her roll and see if she gets. She rolled a 6. So she's like, and I only rolled 1 die because I was like, she's got low stats. So I was just like, well, let's just roll this. I was like, wow, she actually got it. Okay.
Yeah, it'd be the weird thing that stuck out. Like, why are they calling you Daniel, Dad? Like, yeah, what the fuck supposed to mean?
Exactly.
Mike or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. They probably had to explain it. Yeah, he probably at one time probably explained it to her like, yeah, Daddy played a character, and that's what they call me, that kind of thing.
Okay, that's good. So it's still kind of early. How do you want to handle this? Do you want to tag along? Do you want me to go to work and, you know, report into your boss lady? Like, is there like a little, you know, sort of jaunty salute?
Yeah. So should you say like, do you want me to go to work or do you want to come with me? And before you can say anything else, she says yes.
Like he puts up his hands placatingly, but you know, with a smile, he says, okay. I just, you know, just checking. I figure, you know, you want to be attached to my hip, you know, nothing else but taking the sights and, you know, we spend a nice day, even if we don't turn them up today.
And she kind of thinks about it. She says, if you think about it, it is a Friday. And if he's actually working, today would be the day. Cause like, say like he doesn't work weekends, then we're out of luck. So then we're spending way longer than maybe we wanted to.
He grins. I think he just says, I don't think that's possible.
She laughs at that. She's just kind of like, she's like, yeah, I know. I was in vacation mode. And she like, and then she kind of like makes herself kind of like a little, like puffs herself up a little bit. She's like, but I think now it's down to business.
You got it, boss. And he, you know, he tinks her glass and then, you know, downs the rest of the mimosa, stands, you know, kind of like he's always sort of rumpled, but, you know, kind of like pulls his shirt down, his coat down, you know, extends his hand down to her to help her stand. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that he like grabs, like not, you know, grabs a pistol, but goes in, like puts the pistol on, you know, gets his holster, grabs the pistol. I don't know how that works across state lines for PIs, like in the real world. Like, I don't know if,
well, I think, like, I if think you're back licensed, then you had to, think you had to have it registered.
No, for sure. But like, I don't know if my being a PI in New York means anything in Maine, right? Like, I guess it would mean something, right? If I murder somebody, yeah, it doesn't mean anything. But if they're you know, gun laws are pretty fucking loose until fairly late, right? Like,
for sure.
You know, like the 80s.
And yeah, and I can't imagine that being a PI, you would just be like, I'm just limited to this state. You know, it's like, there's got to be some extenuating circumstances when you get yourself a PI license.
Right, if you got to track somebody.
There's probably other things too. Like if, you know, if something happens in a different state, you have to notify the local authorities so they can do their thing and stuff like that. So,
Yeah. Do we want to say that that's the case then? So the first stop would be maybe to the police station just to say like, hey, I'm in town, I'm on vacation, but I'm also kind of like working on a case and, you know, I'll be around.
Yeah. I think that is a totally valid idea for sure.
Okay. He, you know, if she's saying like, he gets her coat, you know, helps her put her coat on and everything. And he says, first things first, I want to check in with the local PD. I'm not sure how far our excursion is going to take us, but we should at least check in with the Portland PD as a first, just to let them know that, you know, that I'm here and I'm working. And, you know, if anything happens, we're all, you know, above board.
And she just kind of like shakes her head like, she's like, of course.
We won't tell them, you know, of course, exactly what we're doing. I just tell them I'm looking for somebody, you know, confidentiality of clients, but just so that they're aware.
Okay.
I don't expect I'm going to need this, but, you know, shit happens.
And she kind of like she giggles and she like gives you kind of that knowing nod, like you probably won't need it, but she's definitely okay with you actually having it.
Yeah, she knows I've already shot somebody.
Yeah. Well, and plus you guys have both been through something traumatic as well. So having that is probably, I'll just say for the audience's sake, that she's probably half pensive about it and half okay with it because of what's happened.
Right. Pensive because, like, don't shoot my dad, but also, like, well, if the mafia finds out or whatever, right, like, then don't let them shoot my dad.
Yeah, exactly. The pros and cons of weapons.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you guys take a taxi.
Before taxi we leave,
driver note. Yes.
When we exit down, I want to stop at the front desk. Usually they have like little maps and things of the sort of the surrounding area. So I want to stop and just pick up a map on the way out. If they have like one of those,
for sure.
One of those wood things with like all the trifolds in them. Yeah, whatever.
Love those things.
Grab like if anything that looks like pretty, like go lobster fishing or
they're definitely gonna have something like that.
Yeah. So I'll grab a couple of those things. Just to like when we're in the cab, you know, I can between the two of us, we can kind of peruse. Like there's a picture of her dad in the lobster folder. I mean, no, but right, like obviously, like, you'd check it to make sure.
Oh, for sure. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is going to be super, super easy. I'm stealing your money. Let's go to dinner.
No kidding.
So yeah, then we grab a cab and
head
downtown.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you head out. It's actually not that much of a trek. You get to the local the Portland police station. It actually is surprisingly lax for Maine, for what you know about. The hustle and bustle of the city is big, but for some reason, it's like maybe it's just a slow day for the local police today. So there's hardly anybody bringing anything in. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, ask the cab to wait for us, because I don't expect to be here for too long.
Yeah, just so
we don't have to, you know, hail down another fucking guy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And he's like, me, that's running. So you like I said, you head in. It's not as busy. You know, there's more people doing paperwork than anything. Not really anybody bringing anybody in or anybody out that you can see, at least. Mm-hmm. And the front desk, there is a female and a male at the front desk.
Okay, I'll approach with her, you know, kind of trailing behind me, clearly with me, but you know, not front approach. Let me talk to her. Okay, so I go up and I reach in my pocket. I have my business card out. Approach the desk. I'm like, good morning. How are you doing, officers?
The male is actually like just filling out paperwork and kind of looking at something and then filling out paperwork and looking at another thing. Can't tell if it's like a calendar or something like that. And so he doesn't really clock you, but mm-hmm. the female officer actually looks up and she's like, "Oh, good to meet you, sir. How can I help you today?"
My name is George Armstrong. He, passes the card. I'm a private investigator. I'm licensed in New York. I'm here on vacation, and he, kind of like inclines his head towards Jane. But I'm mixing a little bit of business with pleasure. So I'm here working, and I just wanted to check in with local. I don't want to step on any toes. If anybody, reports a strange guy with a funny accent, walking around asking questions, it's probably me.
And she kind of laughs, and she's like, "Oh, believe me, being from Maine here, everybody's got a funny accent." So she says,
I don't even hear it.
Okay. She's like, all right. Well, just a few things. If anything is pertaining to, trying to think of how she would address that. She's just like, okay, sounds good. Is anybody going to be in any mortal harm or anything like that? Anything that we're going to have to assist at all?
I certainly hope not. I do have a registered firearm. He, pulls out, I guess, whatever the registration is. I do have my firearm with me. I've had some issues in the past. I don't expect to have any issues here, but, better safe than sorry. I'm hoping this is going to be pretty easy. I'm trying to track somebody down.
Okay. She's kind of shaking her head. She's like, okay, sounds good. She says, okay, then with that in mind, just make sure that if anything were to be escalated, make sure that you keep us in the loop. If there's anything where you feel like you or people that you are associated with are going to be in harm's way, make sure you also let us know. That will kind of keep you in... trying to think of the word she'd say, like, basically you won't get in trouble for if anything happens, if you involve them, if you kind of out on your own and kind of do your own thing, then there's going to be trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. But however the chips fall.
Yeah. For sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I feel like that's probably pretty standard.
And she's just like, is there anything else I can help you with at all? Do you have any questions? Anybody here you need to talk to?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, I just wanted to check in just to, again, not to ruffle any feathers. And, if anybody has any weird suspicions or whatever, it could be me just, poking around a little bit.
Okay. She's like, she takes your car. She's like, okay, I've got your information. I'll make sure I keep that on file. She hands you one of their cards. She's like, okay, here's our phone number here. So if you need to get a hold of us, make sure you do so. And yeah, enjoy your time in Portland.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Of course.
And so what's the vibe, right? Like, I don't know how real we want to be, because like the KKK was a big fucking deal in Maine for some weird reason.
Ugh, yucky.
And they're also pretty insular as far as like, you know, outsiders. Gross generalizations, right? For the period of time. So does it get a good vibe? Like, seems legit. Like, they're not like murdering people, or like there's no like you know, rebel flag hanging in, you know, like in the window of an office or anything, right?
For sure. Just for the sake of,
I mean, because we could just skip it, right? I mean, we don't need to involve any of that.
I think that's where we're gonna head, like, just for the sake of like, okay, it was a thing. I don't want it to be a thing in our game, just because I hate that kind of shit.
Yep.
But I understand where you're coming from. So when she gives you a vibe, let's just say that she is very warm and accepting, but also, you know, the whole, like, if there's anything that's going to happen, make sure you involve us. Like, you can tell there's a seriousness to her voice. That's like, you better do it.
Yeah. You're not from here.
So it's a, you know, and it's not a threat, is like, we keep our stuff in house here, and like, that's why we're here, kind of thing. And it does, you know, but they might do that to their PIs as well, if there's PIs that, you know, come to them that live there. So,
okay. So we're dealing with like a Norman Rockwell-ish, you know, cop on the street, like no one's murdering anybody.
Exactly.
Okay, fair. we live in a world full of Bryans.
for sure.
Okay, fair. I guess we leave, head back into the cab. Do any of the brochures, had any of the brochures kind of caught either one of our eyes as like a first place to sort of check out? Do they have like you could take a charter out to like do lobster fishing in Maine for the day, or anything that sort of would stick out to like, oh, we should check this thing, whether you want to make an awareness roll or like a
research.
It's not really research, but
let's just do an awareness, just because.
Oh, my 3-6 dice rolled 2 6s and a 5. So that's an 8.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. So let's just say you found a couple of different brochures, and one of them is actually for that Wharfman's Bay that other taxi cab talked to you about or whatever. So they're like, yeah, go on a charter or whatever. Go, you know, go fishing or whatever, that kind of thing. It actually talks a little bit about their what they say is like the best lobster in town, kind of thing, like comes from the fishermen at Wharfman's Bay. There's also another pamphlet for the Masterson Lobster Co-op. It's one of those places where it's like a small local co-op where you can get a bunch of different seafood. You can also get lobster there as well. It looks like a nice little place as well. But when you get back, when you're looking at both of these like brochures, there's like nothing that screams out like, oh, this is where her dad is, that kind of thing. It's like, both of those are like good, like viable options for places that you could check. There's just nothing in there that says, you know, that really points out like, oh, he could be there. But it's also good options to check.
Yeah. So I think, you know, once they get back in the cab, he says, what do you think? You want to start over at Wharfman's Bay?
She says, you're the PI. I just follow you.
All right. So, you know, taps the cabbie and he says, over to Wharfman's Bay, please.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, you got it. Yeah. So you take a little trip down to Wharfman's Bay. Wharfman's Bay is slamming busy today. So there are boats coming in and out. You can tell there's different charters leaving and coming back, there's actually more boats than you would have expected there. There are groups of, like, you can see, like, businessmen that are just, like, going out with their group of, like, people from their business, and they're coming back with, you know, some big catches while the, you know, they're all like, oh, I caught this, and, you know, I can't believe it, and I did all this work, and, oh, that kind of thing, and the fisherman behind him's like laughing, like, yep, you did all the work, it wasn't me at all, and that kind of thing, you know. Lots of there's deliveries that are coming in and out. You can see there's some, like, some chum, and there's some, like, you know, different fish or food for catching fish and stuff like that. Some catches of certain things are kind of coming in and out, so like there's, like, different, like, catches of fish that they're just dumping in boats and just trying to sift through to put in different things so they can ship them out to local businesses or local markets and stuff like that. So everything, it's a pretty busy spot.
Okay. My general sense is this wouldn't be the place that he would be if he was trying to keep a low profile, right?
Yeah.
And we do have a picture, right? We have an old picture or a
you have an old picture, correct?
We have an old picture.
Yep, okay. You have an old picture. I actually have it here. So his old picture, he had a flat top crew cut, light brown hair. Where was I at? Here we go. He had a casual style with blue jeans and a dirty brown tee.
What's his build like?
So he has kind of a back then. He had kind of like he was kind of like muscular in a corn-fed, like, farmer kind of way. So, like, nothing with, like, definition, but you could tell, like, he, you know, did something that kept his physique up.
Okay.
And back then he worked at a factory manufacturing car parts. So, like, he looks like one of those guys that just, you know, never had many days off in his life, you know, kind of worked his hands quite a bit and that kind of thing. So,
okay. A little hair worn, I guess, in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a little older than his ears.
Yep. For sure.
A little bit.
But you could tell he also has a kind of look to him, like he could command a room as well. So it's like, he has just that look that says that, you know, when I walk into a room that, you know, people are watching.
Okay. And this is like a 15-year-old picture, right? Because he left when she was 8 or something like that, 10 or something.
Yep, okay. For sure.
So they get out of the cab, just kind of like take in the scene. You know, he pulls out a smoke, you know, like they're standing, all the stuff's going on. He just pulls out a smoke, you know, lights up, blows the smoke away from her. You know, just kind of get a sense of, like, what's happening, who's coming, who's going. He leans in and he says, I think we should take a walk, you know, kind of stay out of the way, just sort of take it in. I get the sense if he's trying to fly under the radar, he's probably not, taking businessmen out on little cruises, little charters, you know?
Yeah. And she kind of, like, she's like you, it's like when you're talking to her, it's almost like it looks like she's not even paying attention to you. But then all of a sudden she just kind of, like, shakes her head as she's staring out and everything or whatever. And she's like, I might not be no PI, but for some reason I thought the same thing. I was like, this is just not it. I don't think, but I mean, it can't hurt to, like, snoop around, I guess.
Yeah, we just, you know, we'll take in the scene. We'll get a lay of the land. So, baby said, we're gathering information.
And she just, again, just kind of, like, shakes her head, like, just like, yep, lead the way.
So, yeah, they just kind of stroll, like, he's not in any kind of a rush. Like, I don't know if there's, it's all business, like a working dock where it's all business and, like, we look out of place sort of thing. Or, you know, because he would try to fit in as much as possible, right? Like, It's not like a stroll, you know, slow stroll with a parasol arm in arm, you know, kind of like whatever, but it is sort of like a, you know, trying to match momentum and, like, he's working now. Like, she's with me, but he's working. Like, he's taking everything in. He's looking around. He's looking at names of boats to see if anything sticks out. Something, again, maybe from the movie, maybe there's a boat named Jane, you know, or, you know, the wife's name or whatever, like maybe two on the nose.
Yeah.
But like, you know, baby girl or, you know, something that wouldn't necessarily be like,
really,
I'm Jane's dad, but also like, oh, that's an interesting name for a boat that we might want to talk to the guy who's running that boat, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Again, I don't expect to find it here, but these are the sorts of things that he would, you know, kind of be keying in on and you know, trying to catch.
Yeah. So I think this is a perfect time for a roll. So I think you can either use like a awareness, a perception, or like an investigation, like whatever seems right for you.
Feel like it's an awareness just because the way I'm describing it is more of him like looking at things and trying to pick stuff out. Mechanically, it's the same. My investigation is a +2 as well. So it's
nice.
Narratively, I think makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I got 1-6. So it's going to be an 8 again.
Okay.
I don't know what my DL was.
I was just going to have it be really low. So I think I was going to have it be like a 2. So. Make sure you mark yourself for a XP there because you got an and.
Well, I had an and last time too, didn't I?
I feel like you did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did because we were just,
I don't remember what the hell it was for.
Yeah. What was that for? It was also an awareness for, what did we just do? Jesus Christ. We just,
was that for the, the brochures?
Oh, yes. Yep. That was it. Yep. Because you were just seeing what you could see between the two. But so you're kind of looking around and like you're actually looking for specific things. So you're looking on the boats, you're looking at names, nothing really stands out, you know, like these names are just very like, oh, of the sea kind of thing. And it doesn't really like specifically talk about a woman or a little girl or anything like that or anything that points towards Jane or even Carson. And where was I going with that? Oh. And then you're looking at the certain boats. So you're looking at like, you know, people have, they have like little fishing boats that where the people that work there are actually doing fishing themselves to get fish for the business, stuff like that. Then you're actually looking at the charters are kind of coming to and fro and stuff like that. And then you actually see one of these fishing boats that looks like it's actually an actual boat and they've got the nets for lobsters and they've got, you know, like the whole setup and stuff like that. You're not a connoisseur of that kind of thing, but let's just say like through like through like encyclopedias or something like that, or like maybe when you were in school, like you learned a few things and like that looks like a boat that they would use for that kind of thing. And it looks like it is docked and not being used. So you're wondering like, okay, does that have to do with the lobster shortage? Like maybe just how, you know, things are faring out there. They're not really making the money off of catching lobster, but they're finding it in other ways.
Okay. Is that my and?
I've got an and. It's funny because I was going to say, and you could have the and, but I actually have a good one for you.
If you have something that fits, Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Do you have something?
So I had like two. I had three different things that were kind of
holy crap! Well, let's see what's going on here. Tell me.
All right. So my first thought was that nobody bothered us, right? So like we just were able to fit in enough. There's enough people coming and going that nobody really paid us any mind. The second thing I thought was after you described there being a lobster boat there that's docked was that there's somebody on the boat that we could go talk to. The other thing I thought was that we're able to get to where, like, if they have like a harbor master, but like, you know, I'm envisioning like a controller shack sort of at the end of the pier to kind of like monitor shit that's coming and going, that we, you know, we could snag the person in there if they weren't like super busy with stuff. Any of those things.
So my thought for an and kind of works with your B option. So we're going to go with someone is on the lobster boat and they are, let's say it's older gentleman in this, you know, again, this is going to sound bad because we're both in our 40s and 50s, but let's just say that he's like in his 50s and he's like kind of like, and back then people in their 40s and 50s looked a lot older back then. So anyway,
skin like guy, leather.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Grizzled.
Yes. Like had seen a lot. So yeah, he's actually cleaning the boat. So when you see someone on a busy Friday cleaning a lobster boat, you know that there is not a lot of action going on. And yeah, you kind of walk. Well, actually, I'll let you decide how you approach him.
Let me finish making my notes here. See, like scraping barnacles.
Yes.
Or like just like he's swabbing also, and like, you know,
he's also swabbing the deck. Yep. He's also like making sure like knots are tight, and like you definitely it's busy work. You know that
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You don't need to know anything about a lobster boat to know that is busy work.
Yeah. Yeah. And what time of the year again?
Oh, that's a good question. I was going to ask you that. You usually have all this information and I never do.
Yeah, no, I have it somewhere. Hold on.
I want to say we said it was fall, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Fall sounds correct. Maybe I don't have it. April. So if we go back to the interstitial episode, where we wrapped everything up, it was April 1st, 1948.
Oh, gotcha. But that was the last season.
But it was the lead into. We just popped right into six. It.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll say it's still, yeah. We'll say it's May. Let's just pop into May instead. Well, no, it'd still be end of April probably. Because our days go very slowly in this game. So yeah. Let's say we're like end April.
Well, do we want to? I can't remember what we. God, it seems so long ago. Because I think it was a period of time.
Oh wait, yes. Because I thought we went through like 6 months or something like that. I thought.
So that would say it's make like it September.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because it'd be beautiful up there in September. But the boats would still be running, right? Because if it was like October, November, like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're doing very much fishing. It
would be cold, yeah. 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 So it's like end of summerish. Yeah, let's say that. That's perfect. I like that.
Okay. It's beautiful. All right, great. Yeah. So I just, you know, I kind of, you know, lean into her, kind of like bumper, you know, shoulder to shoulder. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's a lobster boat down there. Guy looks like he's just doing a little bit of busy work. Maybe he's got some stories to tell. Old timer looks like he's been up here for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe people that work in this business, maybe they know each other. I don't know. Could be.
I'd imagine they must, right?
I would think.
All right. Well, let's go meet his acquaintance.
Okay. Yeah. So you walk up or whatever, and he's still kind of doing things. He's not really paying attention to what's going on in his surroundings.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff happening he doesn't care about.
yeah, for sure.
So I think I probably start with, like, it's a nice boat. I come here not fishing. Like, we'll do it. But I'm trying to work it out in my head, right? Because he would be smarter than me. I don't think he'd be like, hey, I'm a private investigator. I'm looking for this fucking guy. What, do you know this guy? I think it would be more like, oh, geez, you know, I heard about the fishing's kind of bad, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that kind of thing. And then be like, oh, yeah, you know. Yeah. Oh, so I think like he comes up to the side of the boat, and I think he just calls out to the guy, permission to come aboard, captain.
And yeah, he actually kind of gets a like big smile on his face, and he says, ah, for you, my fine young man. Ooh, and my fine young lady, come, please. You may enter my sea barge.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. And like he steps over to like help her across the little, you know, gangplank or whatever that's between the boat and the dock and all that. And then, you know, comes on behind her and he says, we heard on our trip up that, you know, lobster fishing's been kind of bad. Looks like, are you taking a hit here? Or what's going on with the fishing?
And he kind of like does one of these like, kind of like, ooh, like you punched him kind of thing, like fake, like, ooh, you got me kind of thing. You know, he's like, yeah, I tell you, it's been quite the season, you know, just the lobster's just not really hanging out in our usual spots. And with what's happening with what's happening in the ocean there, just kind of affecting the, you know, the catch and stuff like that. So it's just, it's been tough. It's been rough. Let's just say, I've had to kind of, expand my portfolio.
Oh, you doing, fishing other than lobster?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I gotta kind of poke my way into these other things. You know, some of the other guys working the chata and the, working the fishing and stuff like that, they don't really like me poking in, but the boss is really nice. He lets me, you know, makes me feel like I'm useful, you know, even if my regular job isn't really getting the catches that I need.
Well, I guess that's rough on the economy up here, huh? It's all about lobster and Maine. That's what I hear.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it people come here, that's what they come for. They don't just come for the fish, you know. There's lots of seafood here, of course, but you know, most people are looking for lobster. So, you know, if my business is waning, then people aren't getting what they want, and you know, it makes for you know, an interesting kind of day.
Like, it must be charging a pretty penny for what you could find.
Oh, you know it. I mean, I almost feel bad, you know, because I love lobster and I love that other people like it, you know. So it's hard when, you know, these suits, you know, and these upper class get all the fun, and then, you know, you get old Joe Potato over here that doesn't really, you know, can't really afford it. You know, I feel like it's unfair.
You know, it's a funny thing. They used to consider lobster trash. They'd give them to the poor people until the rich folks figured out how good they were.
You know, I do believe it. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I feel like the rich just, they throw stuff away all the time. So I'm not really surprised that they don't really know something good that's in front of them. And he says it kind of loud, and he kind of like all of a sudden kind of looks around like probably shouldn't be, you know, saying something in front of the clientele or whatever. But he's just kind of like, he looks at you, kind of shrugs, and then just kind of like,
I'm all rumpled. You know. He's like, you're not fancy. Right, when he kind of like looks around, I just, you know, I kind of just like wave my hand like, yeah, you know, fuck him. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Now, so you go ahead. Go. I was just going to say, it's, I feel bad that, you know, you take a hit in your living. It's, you know, we're up here, you know, on a little vacation. We spend a little time together taking something new, but, you know, you're up here working.
Oh, yeah. You know, hey, we're all working, right? I'm sure you two work wherever you're from or wherever you come here. It's okay. You don't have to make me feel bad. You know, I'm just glad I got a regular paycheck, you know. I could be doing something I don't love. I do love this, and I do love my job, and I love it here.
Well, that's great. That's great. I, you know, if you happen to find a couple of, you know, nice chunky lobsters, I might be, I might be in the market.
Ooh, you don't say.
Yeah. And he like reaches in, he pulls out his card, he gives him the card.
Nice. He says, yeah, if I find a little something, and he looks and kind of gives a little knowing nod to Jane or whatever. He says, I'll let you know.
Yeah. You know, just, I'm definitely in for the lobsters. If I might be able to ask you another question too, just, you know, as part of my, you know, my business thing here, I'm looking for a guy, and I hear he's up here. He's not in any trouble or anything like that. I hand to God, you know. You're an honest man of the sea. I'm just, you know, I'm looking out for a guy. I'm trying to find him, trying to get him in touch with a family member. So if you could take a look at this picture, maybe see if it, you know, if he looks familiar, maybe. I hear maybe fishes for lobsters up here a little bit.
Okay. All right. I'll take a look. Okay. And so, yeah. So he kind of looks at the picture, you know, and he does this thing where he kind of takes it and he holds it out in front of him. Then he brings it close and then he holds out in front of him again. And he kind of tilts it a little bit and he's just kind of like, this kind of looks like somebody I know. This kind of looks like that God, what's that guy's name?
Is it Danny?
Danny. You know, that's right. Danny. Hold on. Danny Klondike. That's right. That's that Danny Klondike that works over at that Masterson's Co-op. Yeah, that's right. He does the lobster fishing too. Of course I would know who he is, but this is an old picture of Danny.
Yeah. He's been away for some time. Lost touch and just trying to set some old things straight.
Ooh. You don't say. And he kind of looks at Jane a little bit. He says, "Well," and he says it at you, but he looks at her and he says, I really hope you find this Danny, and I hope you resolve whatever needs to be resolved."
His eyes kind of flick to her and then back to him. he starts to say where it is. I'm hoping to, to surprise him. It's kind of a big deal. I'd appreciate it maybe if you didn't tell him again. I'm not like no trouble for me. I'm not trying to make any waves. And he laughs, waves his hand at the ocean.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so he kind of laughs or whatever. And he's like, okay, no, that's fine. I haven't seen Danny in a long time and whatever. And, mum's the word. Hey, that's your job. That's not my thing to do. I'm just a man of the sea.
Hey, but no shit. You find some lobsters, you let me know. We'll find I could take them and cook them up. You got a local joint. I could tell them that you sent me over.
Perfect. So he kind of looks at your car and he's like, well, this number is not local. Well, how am I going to be able to get a hold of this?
Ah, shit. We're staying over at the Hilton over on 34th Street.
Okay. All right. And he kind of like, he thinks about it a little bit. You could tell he's like committed it to memory. He's like, Hilton Hotel, 34th Street.
He pulls out a pen.
Armstrong.
Either gives him the pen or takes the card back and writes, writes the name.
Yeah,
the
for sure. Street. Yeah, he'll take your pen and he'll write it. Yeah, for sure. He's like, you'll be the first one. You'll be the first one that I contact.
All right. Yeah. We plan on being here for a little bit. So, hopefully you find something.
I hope so. We got to get back into it,
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to hold you up anymore. Good luck. I hope everything sort of turns around. What's it, one of those like El Nino things or whatever they call it? The water gets all twisted around or something, they say?
Yeah, exactly. It's just affecting the wildlife, and the lobster's not in the places that they're supposed to be regularly, so everything's displaced. So it's been hard. But I heard Masterson's is actually doing a pretty good deal over there, so hopefully, if old Danny's working over there still, hopefully he's making a good living.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I know you guys probably get tons of snow up here, but just 2 years ago, we had a blizzard in New York. Got snowed in. It was I'd never seen that much snow before. Weather's just been crazy.
Yeah. You know what? I think I actually heard about that one because that was a pretty significant snowfall. So yeah. I get that. Boy, I tell you, when it gets bad over here, it gets bad.
No, I can believe it. Right on the between the mountains and the water, man. I can't even imagine what that's like up here.
Yeah, that's right. It's the best of both worlds, but also the worst of all worlds. Both worlds.
Yeah. He just kind of like, kind of puts hands up, sort of like waving them around. He's like, I appreciate your time. Good luck. And hopefully I'll be talking to you.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll see you soon. Good luck in your endeavors.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Did she say anything at all, or she just kind of like mums the word, kind of just nodding and
yeah. Shaking. She's really you can tell she's really taking everything in. She's like she's kind of hanging on every word as well too, because like when you talked about when you handed him the picture and he figured it out and he figured out the name, and then her face kind of lights up like he really could be here kind of thing, And right. So like every kind of information he gives, she's just like a sponge, just taking it all in.
And I imagine like we get on the boat, like she shakes his hand and everything. And then she's kind of like, we're in the back of the boat. So it's like kind of open. So she like kind of steps away and she's like looking at the water and she's like, running her hand along the rail, right? Like, I don't know, she's never been on a boat before, right? Like we're in New York, right? So, you know, kind of like that. And then it's like, oh, this. And she turns around like, oh, you know, and then like maybe comes a little closer. And, you know, it's kind of like circling around sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, she's surprised. You know, from what we know about Jane as a character in the story, she's usually pretty talkative. You know, you can tell, again, she's just quiet and she's absorbing everything and processing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I, and she's, you know, she's inquisitive and she's, I say like wonder at the world kind of thing. Like she's that kind of like the hopeful person, right?
Yeah.
So like everything is cool. Like,
yeah. And she's been through some shit too, but like, she's also like, you can tell she's not, she hasn't let it like change her wonderment about things.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. So he helps her, you know, get off the boat. And we, you know, probably start making our way, you know, back, you know, up towards the end, the front of the dock. It's supposed to be the end of the dock. To hail a cab. So like as we're walking and we're kind of by ourselves, he was like, well, that was maybe easier than I expected. I mean, we don't have him yet, but you know, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah. And she kind of laughs or whatever, and she's like, I'm not surprised. She said, if he's a man of the sea that loves fishing for lobster, and my dad does too. I mean, it's kind of perfect kismet if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seems like this was meant to be.
And she like gets like a big grin. She says, I think so.
I think I take another, like, as we get towards the top, stop, light another cigarette. And look back down around the dock at all the activity to see, right? Because it's hitting him now, right? Like this is pretty easy, and I like it because it makes my job easy. But also, like, I don't like that because there's too many things that have happened. So he looks back specifically to see if anybody stands out that doesn't look like they should be fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't know if this is like somewhat meta, right? Because we're playing a game, right? Like on some level it's that, but also like because of not George's connection with the mafia, but the circumstances that have surrounded George and the mafia.
Sure, sure.
And the fact
keep telling yourself that,
you know, they're looking for him. Not that anybody should be following me for any reason. Leaving New York, right? But like it kind of puts his hackles up a little bit. So I just want to just take a look. Does anybody look like they're also looking? Black suits, pinstripes, like anything that would be like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, right. Roll me an awareness check.
All right. What is that? Is that a one or a six? That is a six, baby. It's another
nice.
Eight.
Nice. Okay. So you get in the cab, you are getting ready to shove off for Masterson's, right? Or are you going to go somewhere else?
Well, so
we're
up near the road, but looking down at the dock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking to see how stuff plays out. So we just left this old guy's boat. Does someone else walk up to that old guy's boat? Again, he's feeling a little bit paranoid now, kind of thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so
your paranoia pays off because someone does approach the old man's boat in not a pinstripe suit, but a very, very obsidian black suit and begins to talk to this gentleman. And you can't see the face of the gentleman that's talking to the old man, but you can tell that the old man has a look on his face like he's being bothered and he does not want to be talking to this other gentleman.
Do I get the, it's kind of an unfair question. Do I get the sense based on my past experience that this is someone who's connected to the mafia sort of thing? Like taking the suit, the stature, sort of the posture, right? It doesn't, obviously not a fisherman. If he's in a suit, right? Does he hold in like a couple of fish? Like he just got off a boat? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it like a hard brains check? Like, I don't even want to make a check. Like, I'm not trying to get something for nothing, right? Like, I feel like that's the connection he would make based on like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like,
well, you do,
oh, I'm busy, right? Because because you talk to us. So feels then like it's at a different level, right? Like you, mm-hmm. I don't know if we could see his face clearly. Like, I don't know how long the dock is, right? Like if we're 40 feet away, we're like, oh, you know, 100 yards away, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what sort of scale we're looking at.
Yeah. You're, let's just say you're up on a hill. You're actually quite a ways away, but because you got an and, I'll have your and be what you actually see here. So you see that this is definitely somebody that is of mob stature. You can tell because of the way they dress, the way they kind of carry themselves. Even though you can't see the guy's face that is talking, you can tell that just by in his body language, he's talking with an authoritative way where I have questions, I want your answers. And the fisherman he's not giving in, but he's also not trying to be abrasive as well because he knows better.
Yeah. I'm torn between telling her to get in a cab and go over to Masterson's and going down there,
mm-hmm.
and us both getting in a cab, going to Masterson's and trying to grab him and fucking scoot.
Yeah.
Because he's got my card. So if he gives up the name, they know where we are.
Yeah.
So me going down is irrelevant, right? Like, because he potentially has access to that information regardless of me going or not going. Right. They, depending on who it is, may not know what I look like, right? So that's advantage to me. So like all of these things are kind of going through his head to try to figure out, like, because I'm not going to cap the guy on the fucking dock, right? And I also don't want to go back to the cops and be like, oh yeah, so like the mafia also wants the guy that I'm looking for. Like, this is going to be a problem, right?
yeah.
Because that seems bad.
Yeah, that might take you out of the equation then.
Guy seems like he's alone. He doesn't have backup. There's not, like, he's not on the boat.
As far as you can tell, he is alone, but that's all you can see.
Yeah. No, that's fine. It's not like he's on the boat and there's a guy standing like off the boat kind of thing, right? It's not
No. There's nobody in his vicinity that looks like he's with him.
I don't know what to do. I think I feel bad for that guy because he wasn't trying to involve a random person in whatever this business is. It also makes him think, like, were they already here? Did they already have this information? Did somebody follow us up here? Because I don't recall seeing anybody, but like, I also wasn't looking, and maybe that's on me for not checking when we left. And why would they be tailing? Like, why do I have a fucking tail? Like, what is that about?
It's weird. It's like you have a lot of questions, but not so many answers.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it, and George doesn't like it by extension. fuck. I think he flicks the cigarette, grabs her elbow, and says, "We gotta go," and like fast walks her like to the street, and immediately starts like looking for a cab.
For sure.
I think that's the best course of action. Because again, if they don't know me specifically, unless we were tailed, then I guess it's a moot point. But at least in theory, I have that going for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, you know, you get that sense of emergency. You grab Jane's arm. She reads your body language. She does not like ask any questions. She doesn't like try to like convince you to do otherwise. She doesn't say anything of the other sort except for getting out of there. So she takes your lead. She rushes with you. You get to a certain spot. You hail. A cab immediately finds you. And you jump in and speed off. And we're going to call it there.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
Okay. All right. I like that. That's good. I mean, it's not good. I fucking hate it, but.
Yeah. It's funny because I was like, as soon as you said, I'm going to see if anybody's tailing me, I'm like, holy shit, that is good. I was like, that's good investigation stuff because, I mean, it is kind of a spoiler, but it's not in the same aspect. But you were going to find that out eventually. So I was like, well, or no, not tailed, but you would find out that somebody is there. So like when you said you were going to see if anybody was there, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to come quick.
And I kind of kick myself now for like not being more aware of the surroundings on the way up, but there would be zero expectation for me to think that someone would follow me if we were getting on the train, right? Because even if, I don't know, right? Like, you're gonna have to explain all this to me when the season wraps up. If like they know who Jane is, right? So like, if there's already like, so there's the shit that I got caught up in, but they're looking for him, so they're also like kind of have an eye on her. And then like, oh, how convenient is it that the two of them are together? Because now we could take this other guy to go beat up shopkeepers and take money and just have one guy watch the two of them sort of thing. Right. Because it seems like a sunk cost, right? Because like, how could they, right? Like, this is me as GM coming up with a scenario to like make it make sense.
Yeah.
Then why would they devote manpower to something that may or may not ever happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fuck, unless she's in on it. Right? And this has all been a fucking long con, which would be really fucked up if I have to kill Jane at the end of the season. Forget that I said that. That's not a thing that's happening.
It isn't?
Who knows now? I don't know. I should just say things out loud. I should just write stuff in a fucking journal.
I love it. Oh, I always love when you just go off on a tangent. I'm like, it either helps me or it just makes me think of other things, and I love it. So it's perfect.
All right. Well, shit. See, but this precipitates like 10 other things because in the cab ride, I'm now watching to see if we're followed.
Yep.
If we are, then that means we get out somewhere else and then we try to like walk over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how far it is to get there surreptitiously to grab him. But it also means that we're checking in somewhere else and I'm going back to the hotel to grab our stuff because she's not going back to that hotel at all ever. I also wonder, right, because I'm not super comfortable leaving her with him either.
Yeah.
Right, like regardless of the fact that it's her dad, she hasn't seen this guy in 15 years or whatever. I don't know how that's going to be, so I would be reticent to leave her with him. But I also kind of want to stake out the hotel now to see if I could see who the fuck this guy is. Or we could grab him, go to the cops, and be like, you need to protect him. There's some fucking mobsters and like, I don't know, this is going to be your problem now.
I love it. It's funny because a lot of the things you're saying, a lot of things that you're doing and stuff like that, like I've thought of and stuff like that. But also when I'm writing this stuff too, I also come up with the questions that come up when you talk about them too. So it makes me feel good when all of a sudden you're like, but what about this? I'm like, yep, I thought of that. I'm glad you thought of that kind of thing, you know? And it's nice to be able to see kind of where this goes. Cause it's funny because we haven't played in a while and I'm still writing.
Long time.
I'm literally still writing stuff because I'm like, I want this to be a good like end to stuff or whatever. And it's funny cause I kind of feel bad that we haven't played in so long, but I also am okay with it because there are some things I came up with within the last month that I'm like, this is good. I'm glad I was able to write this down and not just kind of wing it or write something else, you know, that kind of thing. But even though I'm sure it was going to be okay in the first place, but it's cool to be able to see where everything goes. And I love, like, I knew eventually when you found out that somebody was going to be around, this is going to happen. You're like, shit, how is this happening? You know? So, I always love having those moments of having the players like be like, okay, why is this happening? Cause like, mm-hmm. that's, That's what you want. You want people to drum up their, you know, get their synapses going and stuff like that, and be like, okay, this, and why is that, and this, and then what do I have to do here? And like, even when you said, like, I feel bad that as George, I should have like seen if we were being followed and stuff like that, because your character and Jane have been through some things.
Yeah.
But it also, if you think about it too, you're kind of wrapped up in the whole, like, okay, I'm here with Jane. We're having fun. Like, we know that this is going to probably come to a head. It could be really good for us in a relationship, but it also could be bad. Could also be great for her, but also could be bad for her, mentally and physically for you, and what's going to happen. It could be that too. So like, there's so many things that go into it that it's like,
yeah, yeah.
Where is this all going to come to a head? So like, of course, if I were put in that situation, I don't think my mind would be totally everywhere all at once and be like, oh, I'm here. Oh, now I'm over here. And, you know, so it's like, you can't, I think even as a character in that world, as a real person, they're not going to be on, you know, 100% like, you know, yeah. this isn't fucking Matlock or, you know, whatever, where everyone's just, Columbo, like on all the time, you know, just people aren't bred like that.
Yeah. 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 Again, there wouldn't be any expectation for me to think like, oh, someone's going to follow us to Maine. Right. Cause it was sort of like out of the blue, like, hey, I want to hire you to help me find my dad. Right. Like that's completely like out of nowhere. I'm fairly confident she's not in on it, just because I had made multiple inside checks on her since starting. Not that can't be wrong, I guess, right? Like, you know, maybe she aced her fucking lying roll or whatever. I'm fairly confident it's not that. I don't know. Maybe they got to her mom. Like, you know, who are you to be any number of things? That would have triggered it. And it could have been after we left. So maybe they got in a car and just fucking drove straight up here, where we took a couple days of dicking around.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of times when I write things, I want them to be like that. We talk about it a million times, like a flow chart. Like if not this, then this, like, I don't want it to be a point where when I say something, you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, and that there might be a potential for that, because I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I try to do that thing where I'm like, I'm going to make it so like it makes sense.
Yeah. 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 See, that's one of the things I don't run very much, but when I do is like, fuck. Well, if it's 40 degrees outside, that means they have to have coats, right? Like, it's one of those things, like, you get such level of minutia of, like, if this, then these things also have to be true, mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, and it kind of doesn't matter, because, like, you're just playing for a vibe, right? Like, we're having fun, you're doing a thing, and like, yeah, we go outside, it's cold, shit, that sucks, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, why? That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you have a coat? Yeah. Like, it's October.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because I was kind of thinking about it, because we were talking about like, when is this? Is it April? Where, you know, it's like most people are like, who gives a fuck? Just play the game. But like, it kind of makes sense in a way though, too, because like when I originally did the, it was, you know, when I originally did the snowstorm in the previous seasons, like I was like, I want this to be a story. Like, things get in the way, and like, you know, say you go on a foot chase in the snow, you're not going very far. You know, it's like, I wanted to make it a little bit of something that's kind of part of the story that makes it a little bit more exciting than just, oh, it's October, oh, it's June, you know, whatever, you know.
Right. Well, because the environment should, in theory, have an impact on what's going on in the story.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like you say, in the middle of a snowstorm, like, okay, if you're going to chase somebody, well, give me a grace roll. I'd set a -2 because it's icy outside or whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, if we're in December right now, well, there's nobody at the dock because they're not fishing. And that makes this a whole lot harder now, because where are the fishermen in December? You know, like, there's 4 feet of snow on the ground. Like, nobody's going to fucking Maine anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like little things again, like, you want it to make sense within the overall narrative context. Mm-hmm.
for sure.
You know, for what it's worth, I guess, right? Like, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you know, it doesn't. But for us, it does. You know, it's, I enjoy it. Like, I like it. Because, like, to tell you the truth, normally in games, I would never be like, okay, today's Tuesday at whatever. But, like, for this game, it makes sense because it's, like, obviously, you know, time is a actual construct in this game because it's kind of real life. Where, like, if we do, like, D&D or whatever, it's like, who cares what time it is? Like, nobody cares, you know?
Yeah, just, there's gods. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the sun up or is the sun down?
Magic and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, the only time it ever matters is, like, okay, we're going to get 4 hours of sleep now or 8 hours of sleep. Like, yeah, that's, you know, mainly the thing. But, like, again, this is more trying to be toward more real life, a real life world or whatever. So, of course, you're going to have that kind of stuff. So,
and things are happening, right? Stuff happens on not a timeline necessarily, but, like, there are plans and things are in motion. Like, Todd was always good about that. Like, there's things that are happening, whether you address them or not, things will come to fruition if you deal with it or don't, right? And it may or may not affect you, but the world exists and does its own things.
Yep.
So the time does matter in a sense of, like, what's on a timeline for, you know, the cult to summon a demon or, you know, whatever the fuck it is, right? Like, if you don't get the crazy book, then they summon the demon. And then, like, now you've got to deal with this problem too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, all that stuff kind of, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I like that kind of, I like the idea of, like, the world still happens. You know, it's not just whatever you're doing is happening. Like, there are a lot of things that are in motion. Yeah. And even if you are not a part of it, it's still going to happen. So I've been trying to actually think of that more, which is kind of interesting in a way for our couple of stories and stuff like that, is just being like, okay, what's some other things that could be going on behind the scenes that can affect the world, but still not affect them until they run into it or ask about it, you know? So it's like, because then it adds it adds more levels of story. Then, you know, it might give people more ways to go in different directions and then tell more of a story than that way. So,
yeah. Well, even the historical stuff adds, you know, verisimilitude to the story. Like, mm-hmm. these are the things that are happening at the time, right? Like, no one would know that if you didn't point it out. I assumed that was stuff that was actually happening. Otherwise, why would you include it? So it's cool, right? It just adds that little extra, you know, realism to the story, because, like, they're, you know, air quotes, real people, right? Like, it's New York and Maine and, like, a 32-year-old guy and his, you know, 28-year-old girlfriend or whatever. Like, you know, it's you can get shot and, you know, go to the hospital and be concussed and, like, I don't know, it's fun. I don't know.
It gives it a sense of, like, danger and mystery, and it's fun to play. Obviously, if you were doing that in real life, it would suck, but for us just telling a story, obviously it's fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. And this is what I like the most, because it, you know, again, quote unquote, it matters, right? Like, you're quote unquote real people, you know?
Your decisions
matter. Your actions matter. You know, all the stuff, right? I don't know. Again, you know, for me, I really enjoy that. That's more so than, like, you know, the power fantasy of D&D. Like, it's and we typically subvert that when we play anyway. So we don't normally take that approach. Because it's more, I don't know, it's just more, the flawed characters are more enjoyable.
For sure.
There's more story fodder.
For sure.
I'm super awesome and I do all the things all the time. It's like, okay, well, that's cool, but, like, I'm not 12.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you want people to have a certain flaw that makes them who they are.